What's up, everybody? This is your boy F Major, and you are listening to the Great Divide Podcast. I am your host. The official weapon of the show is wisdom. The unofficial sport is drum and bugle corps. And I just wanted to put out a short podcast about something that really has me worried. Before we get into that, though, I just want to say today is the day we found out that Donald Trump, I hate that motherfucker, Donald Trump has paid the motherfucker paid $750 in taxes in the years 2016, the first year he was in office, and 2017, the second year he was in office. And what that makes is 2 months worth of my taxes. Do you hear me? This motherfucker paid in 2 years what I have to pay in 2 months. My taxes that come out of my check are about $750 a month. This motherfucker supposed to be worth hundreds of million, and he paid that in a year. And they say in the New York Times article, it says that of the past 15 years, there were 10 years he didn't pay any taxes. So may he choke on my dick. Fuck him. I hate him. I hope he goes to motherfucking Sing Sing Penitentiary. I really do. I hope his daughter go with him. They could put her in the men's prison for all I give. I don't give a fuck. Fuck that entire family. All of them. But that wasn't what I wanted to talk about. I share with you a lot of stuff that happens in my life, or it's a lot of stuff that happened, or whenever I have anything that's worth talking about, or epiphanies, or what have you, I always like to talk about it. And I feel like one of the reasons why people, especially people in the Pacific Northwest, are fascinated by hearing me talk is because I'm from the South, I have a completely different upbringing than most of the people who live in the PNW. That could be it, might not be, but that's what I think it is. It's, I come from a completely different world. Nobody who lives or who is a native of the PNW had the type of upbringing I had. I'm from a completely different, North Carolina and Oregon are so far apart, they could be on different continents. That's what it feels like sometimes. In any case, today I discovered something that made me think I may have made a mistake when I was a child. A huge mistake that I've been feeling bad about all day long. And I have been rationalizing it and irrationalizing it and trying to figure out whether what I did was right. In order to do this, I've had to recall memories that I haven't thought about in 30 years. So I'm going to tell y'all what it is. This is normally something I wouldn't say because it does paint me in a bad light, but for a good reason. When I was in the fourth grade, people know what racism is. You know what, by the time you in the first, second grades, you know that your life is going to be different than most people's because you're black. That's no secret to anybody. If you're raising your kids right, and that's the other thing. When there are two groups of people on this planet that tell the truth, I don't give a fuck what the situation is, they're going to tell the truth. And that is little children and elderly people. You know, some people do this thing with the colorblind racism where they say, I don't see color. Well, guess what? A six-year-old, oh, they see color. Why is this person darker than me? You know, they see the shit. And old people, they tell you the truth because they just don't give a fuck no more. They at that age where if I've lived through all the shit that I've lived through and I made it to make it this far, I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want to say. And most of the time, they're right. But I hesitate to tell the story. Okay, but here goes. So I'm in the fourth grade, and you know, you can get the school lunch or you can bring a bag lunch. Sometimes I did one, sometimes I did the other. It depended on how much time my mom had to make us lunch, and it depended on whether or not she had enough money for lunch money. Most of the time we just had, you know, ate the school lunch, but there were some times where we would bring ours from home. One day at lunch, we didn't go to a cafeteria or anything. We ate our lunch at our desks in the classroom. Like, the lunch ladies brought the lunches around to the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grades. And that was the order that you ate in, too. Because the little children would eat first, and then each grade would eat like a half hour after that one. So in the fourth grade, we were like right in the middle. And one day, my mom packed me a lunch, and it was one bologna and cheese sandwich, one peanut butter jelly sandwich, a banana, something to drink, and I believe that was it. It was just a little lunch. And I was fat back then too, so it was a little lunch for me. I'll put it like that. But it was a little lunch. So there was this kid in the class who wasn't really a bully, but he was just known to be kind of on the mean side. Like, if we outside on recess and somebody get hurt, he'll laugh. You know, that type of shit. Like, benign, but it's still annoying type of shit. And one day, the same day, in fact, that I brought my lunch to school, at the end of it, the bananas, of course, your dessert. That's the sweet thing you get after you finish your regular meal. This is the last thing I ate. So I go to open the banana, and the motherfucker said, "You eat your bananas like a monkey." I whooped that nigga's ass all over that classroom. Do you hear me? I'm not stupid, and I know racism when I hear it. I beat the brakes off this motherfucker in the fourth grade. It took three lunch ladies to come get me off this. I was trying to put his ass in the hospital. I wasn't that lucky, though. He only made it to the clinic. But I was trying to hurt that motherfucker, because you're not going to call me a monkey, because I know the racial connotations of that. I'm not stupid, even in the fourth grade. And I'm not going to sit there in front of all those classes and let you say that I'm doing something like a monkey, because I know what the fuck you mean. That would have been crazy. And all the other little classmates looked surprised when he said the shit too. And it was a little white kid. Of course, if it was a black kid, I'd be like, "What the fuck was that about? You look like a monkey, nigga." You know, but you can't do that. So I wasn't going to let that white boy upstage me in front of the class, embarrass me, and talk about me in a racist fashion. So I whooped his motherfucking ass. After that school year, I never thought about it again. Not really. He had moved and all that type of shit. And him moving in, you know, to a different place wasn't because I whooped his ass. It was because his daddy was military. After all that had happened, they took him to the clinic and patched him up and everything again. He was out of school for the next day, but then he came back, and I never apologized to him. He ain't ever have to apologize to me. I told the principal, because, you know, you get sent to the principal's office. I told the principal what had happened, and he's like, "Well, you can't be putting your hands on people when they say things. Next time, tell a teacher." So I got one day of suspension. They made me serve my suspension the following week. But it was a mess. My mom, you know how moms do. She was frantic. She was angry at me. My dad was like, "Well, did you whoop his ass?" You know how daddies do. That's why I would make a horrible parent, because I would be the same way. "Did you let him whoop your ass up in there? Okay, it ain't going to be no ass whoopings in here. I'm going to whoop your ass. If you let one of them white boys at school whoop your ass, you're going to get an ass whooping when you get home too," type of shit. My daddy did not play. But my mom, she was very angry at me. She's like, "I told you that you think. You don't hit people, you outthink them. If that's what you thought he was doing, then you should have figured out a different way to handle the situation." She was very upset with me, and she was right. So, fast forward to this morning. When I am cleaning my house, I like to have the TV on in the background. You know, it makes me not think about work. It just drowns out the whole world. All that's on is the TV. Now, normally what I do is I look at cartoons and, you know, shit that's colorful on the screen. And I don't be really looking at it. It's just there in the background. So when I glance in that direction, it's not the news. I'm not learning that somebody died or the police killed somebody and no shit like that. It's just colorful and fun. And I'm not really paying attention to it. So I will put it on cartoons. And every once in a while, I'll put it on nature shows or, you know, just something to take my mind, sports, something to just be in the background. Because cartoons ain't on all the time. So this morning when I was vacuuming in the bedroom, the TV in the living room was on, and there was, it was a nature show. And in the nature show, they were somewhere in Africa, and they were like a safari kind of thing, except for the tour guide was like this brilliant guy. He'd never been to college or anything, but he could look at like a grain of grass and tell you where exactly whatever you're tracking is, what type of diseases it has, how long it's been where it's at, if it's going to get ready to go somewhere, all that type of shit, just by looking at the grass that the thing had laid on. It didn't even have to actually see the monkey lay on the grass. It just looked at the grass and said, okay, it was here. It went 3.5 miles this way. It moved over into a cave. And in that cave, you're going to find these type of berries and everything. And he could tell that just by looking at the grass and looking at the monkey's excrement. It was amazing. And that's part of the reason why I don't believe in college educations. Because this nigga ain't got a degree. But I defy anybody who's been to university to be able to tell all the shit that he told and be right about it. Because not only did the show have him saying this stuff, they followed this man where he found the monkey, exactly where he said it was going to be, like fucking 7 miles away from where they started from. It was amazing. And so then the next scene was a whole bunch of them, like a family of them. I can't remember the name of it. It's just chimpanzees and not baboons. It was another type. Gabobo. I don't know the names of them, but they was eating, and in the eating, they had bananas, and the safari guy went to great detail to explain how they eat bananas, and the way he said that made me start listening to the TV was that they open them from the bottom. I have never seen another human do that. Except for people in my family. I have always opened my bananas from the bottom because that's the way my mother taught me to open them. Most people, you know, the part you grab the bananas by when you put them in your cart at the shop and at the grocery store or whatever, you grab it by the top. And that top is the same way most people open their bananas. They'll try to go through the stem. Well, these monkeys in this thing were opening from the bottom. And that's the way my mom always taught me. I've never seen anybody else do that before. And I remembered that I had did that the day that I whooped this boy's ass. So then I started worrying that maybe he wasn't being racist and got the ass whooping. Maybe he had saw back then the show was called Omaha, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. That's the name of the show. And maybe one weekend he saw on that monkeys opening their bananas from the bottom. So when he said to me, you eat your banana like a monkey, he wasn't talking about how I eat it. He was talking about because I opened it from the bottom because he saw that on some nature show somewhere. So I may have whooped this nigga's ass for no reason. And I have been feeling terrible about it all day long. I can't recall everything that happened that day when I whooped his ass. So it seemed like to me, and it still kind of does, that he was doing it the racist way. But because it was so long ago, now I can't be sure. So I'm worried about it because, of course, in a situation like that, when a motherfucker said, you eat bananas like a monkey, then all the rest of the classmates go, ooh, he told you, you know, shit like that, basically instigating. So I had to whoop his ass. You know what I'm saying? So I just thought I'd throw that little story out because now I'm worried. I might have a express ticket to hell now because I whooped his ass for no reason. I mean, stomped a mud hole in his ass. I was trying to kill him. Well, okay, I shouldn't say that. I was in the fourth grade. I wasn't trying to kill him. I was just trying to put him in the hospital. But he went to the clinic instead, and he was all right. But that's going to weigh on my conscience for weeks to come. And I was even thinking about trying to find him on Facebook to find out if that's what that was about. But he might not even remember it. I mean, that was 30 years ago. Man. Sometimes I cringe at the shit that I did when I was a kid. In any case, that's my story. And I'm sticking to it. So I hope that you pull something out of it. I mean, it's just me trying to figure out some things about my own life. But I hope you don't. What's the word? I hope that you don't, I can't think of what the word is. And anyway, I'm getting ready to go because it's been a long day and I'm going to get out of here. I just wanted to give y'all that story. So hopefully you got something out of it. Maybe you'll learn to be nicer to people or look for another alternative to, the violence. I mean, but I keep thinking about it. And what was I supposed to do? In any case, please subscribe to the show. You can find it anywhere you can find podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Definitely leave a 5-star review. Anything that you write with your 5-star review will be read on the show on one of the feedback shows. And before I get out of here, I do want to do one last thing, and that is I want to announce our Hall of Fame. Yes, the Great Divide has a Hall of Fame. We have 4 members so far, and I just wanted to give them a shout out before I get out of here. The first shout out goes to the first person who's ever shouted out the show on social media. The first person who's ever got in touch with the show to tell me that they liked what I was doing and appreciated that I put these out. And that is my nigga Matt Diggy, who is a rapper here in Eugene. But his work transcends just Eugene. I mean, it's a party album. You have to go hear it. It's called Metric. I think it's called Metric. Well, if it ain't called Metric, I'll come on the next show and tell you what it is called. But the artist's name is Matt Diggy. And the album is called Metric. Go look it up on Spotify. Like I said, it's a party album. It's one of them ones you want to pull out. When you get all your friends together and y'all be barbecuing outside and shit, this is the music you want to be playing. So shout out to Matt Diggy for shouting me out. It was the first time. It was awesome. Second person I got to shout out is Zach. He is also one of my Facebook friends. Zach is the first person who ever offered to go premium on this show. What going premium means is I was going to have the regular show, which is what you're listening to, and a premium fee for people who wanted more content. And it was going to be behind a paywall. And he was the first person who, out of the kindness of his heart, offered to donate money to the show. And I appreciate that because I didn't take it, but I appreciate it because it lets me know that what I'm doing is valuable, at least to somebody. You know what I'm saying? So he's a Hall of Famer. Thank you, Zach. My third shout out is to Rick Gulner of the Word Work Underground podcast. And he is the first person. He is the first podcast to shout out my podcast. And that's a big deal to me. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who does what I do, taking the time out of their what they're doing, what their podcast is and everything, to say that my podcast was something that they appreciated. That's amazing. So I wanted to give a shout out to him. Thank him. He's a part of Hall of Fame now. And then the last person, our only female Hall of Fame member so far, is Annie V, who y'all will know from also from my Facebook. And the reason why she's on the Hall of Fame is because she's the first person who actually bought something from the Great Divide. She is the reason why I am going to do a premium podcast. She was willing to donate money and she wanted to listen to the show and everything and all the content I put out and stuff. And that means the people who are premium will get more content. Instead of having to wonder when I'm gonna put stuff out, it'll be coming out more regularly. So I just wanted to thank her for that. Thank all of these people who are the reason why the show is still in existence, because there have been plenty of times where I was wondering whether or not I was wasting my time. But when you hear from people like Matt Diggy and Annie V and Rick Gulner and Zach, it makes me know that whatever I'm doing on this side of the microphone is working for some people. So I just wanted to say thank you to all of them. And I also want to say thank you to all of you. And until next time, I will catch you on the flip side.